Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Thinking about a new vehicle? Trust the team that's been taking care of customers for 70 years. The Cannon family has helped thousands drive home happy. Come take a test drive today and see why. And remember, when the smoke clears, nobody beats a Cannon deal. Nobody.
Roll pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, Super Talk Eagle Hour on the air. Glad you're with us around the state. Whatever station you tune in on or whether it's online, welcome. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bank Corps studio here in Hattiesburg. Bob Getty, Kelly Center, Dima Mixon. Opening segment of our show every day, sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. All right, later in the show, we're going to hear from Matthew Russo, the Bull, how most people know him. But we want to kick off today's show. We've got two great Southern Miss athletes in the studio with us, along with their coach, John Stewart, track and field coach for the Golden Eagles, along with Pierce Cameron and Emmy Bates. And track and field just continues to win. They just got back from the Arkansas Invitational, where they had four first-place finishes and a new school record for the 1 mile run. And we've got two athletes in the studio, as we mentioned, that were a big part of that. Happy to introduce Pierce Cameron to the Super Talk Eagle Hour audience. Pierce is a senior shot putter from Atlanta, Georgia, who took first place this past week in the Arkansas Invitational. And well, Pierce, first of all, welcome to our show. And did I hear Coach say you're the smallest shot putter in the country? Did he say that? Did I misunderstand that?
Yeah, Coach Stu seems to believe that. One of the smallest shot putters in the country.
If you don't mind me asking, how big are you?
About 260 pounds.
So that's small.
In the shot put world, yes.
Is it really? Well, good. So how'd you get started doing that? That's a unique sport, obviously.
My freshman year of high school, my brother always ran track, so I just wanted to do something along track, and I didn't want to sprint, so I ended up choosing shot put.
Okay, and so how did you end up performing for this man standing behind you here?
I got recruited by a coach a few years ago and, you know, found my way here and been here ever since.
Okay. This track and field program just has a winning culture under John Stewart, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. John knows a thing or two about track.
Yeah, I think he probably knows a thing or two. Emmy Bates knows a thing or two about running. She just broke the school record. She ran a mile in 4 minutes and 33 seconds. Was that your best ever?
It was 43, sorry.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
It was 443.
443, I'm sorry. Okay, but still, that's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
That's your best ever, right?
Yes.
All right, and you come to us from the state of Washington. So, man, talk about a journey. How did you end up here?
So my first semester of college, I went to Colorado State Pueblo. Mm-hmm. And then after a semester, I found out, like, it wasn't the right fit. So I entered the transfer portal, and Gibson was the first coach to contact me, and mm-hmm. he flew me out, and I transferred.
And you told me you'd been here 2 years, and you've really adapted to this area. What are the things you like about South Mississippi, Emmy?
I love the weather, and I also like just Southern hospitality. It was really nice and welcoming here.
Well, good for you.
Emmy, the weather, though, and most people will say it's just compared to where you are in the Pacific Northwest, it's beastly hot and humid. Tell us about making that transition from the cold, damp weather of the Pacific Northwest to the brutal heat of South Mississippi. How'd you handle it?
So I've actually only lived in Washington for 2 years.
Okay.
So prior to that, I lived in Hawaii, which is really hot. So from Hawaii to Washington was really hard to adapt. And I love the warm weather. And I felt like I couldn't run as fast in cold weather. So coming down here, it was really easy to adapt.
The humidity, though, too. But this is an indoor event at the Arkansas Invitational this past weekend, so that's important to note. But running outdoors, do you have problems with the humidity, and how do you deal with that?
The humidity actually doesn't affect me that much. I train like over the summer, I, you know, train here when it's humid sometimes. So I just feel like it's easier. And whenever I do go home to Washington, that's usually July, August. So it's it's a little bit like hot, you know, 80, 90 degree weather there. So it's an easy transition.
Now, you set the school record with the 4.43 mile that we talked about. And we've heard from track and field athletes before saying it's really not so much the field I compete against. I compete against myself, so on. So how does an athlete, in both your cases, yours and Pierre's cases, do you work on beating your own individual records? I guess people either think you're born fast. How do you actually develop further speed, if that makes sense?
What I did is I started to focus on like the smaller things. You know, like people just think, oh, run fast, keep running, that's just going to make you faster. But it has so much, like nutrition is a big role in it, like sleep, recovery, all that stuff. So I just make sure to prioritize all that stuff while trying to run fast.
Now, Piers, we got to talk to Piers just a second ago. Piers, you're also a dual citizen. You're a U.S. citizen and a resident of the U.K. Tell us about how all that works.
Yeah, my dad and mom are both from the U.K., and I've been going there ever since I was a child. And so once this opportunity came up in track and field to be able to compete for them, you know, I took it at the first chance I got.
Now, at 260 pounds, I can't imagine that you wouldn't want to be a sprinter. You know, I know I'm right about that size, too, Piers. I'm maybe a little heavier than you.
Maybe a little bit.
What are you laughing at, Bob? I wouldn't want to be a sprinter either, but go ahead, Nima.
Piers, I'm just curious about how training for the event that you play takes place, and how that, you know, your daily routine and things like that, because obviously shot putting, you know, that's not something that a lot of people around here are very familiar with, of course. But I'm just curious about your daily training, your daily routines and things like that.
Like Emmy said, you know, the small things are really important, nutrition and sleep. So those are things I try to prioritize. And on top of that, lifting is a big thing. Like I said, you know, I'm one of the smaller shot putters in the country. But being strong has always been something I've been really good at. So that's something that we prioritize with my strength. And then also just training every single day. I mean, we practice 5 days a week in the off season, so just repetitions on repetitions as much as possible.
Could you arm wrestle Kelly really quickly, or is that...
And he doesn't want to do that. He doesn't want to be embarrassed, even though we're on radio. But, Piers, what about the difference in training techniques? You're a shot putter, but if you were throwing the discus, how would training in those two different events, they seem similar, but I'll bet the way that you train would be different.
Yeah, there's lots of similarities. Lots of the lifting and the types of training are similar, but more of the drills and what you'd practice within the circle is a big difference. And generally speaking, discus throwers are a lot taller than I am.
Yeah. Emmy, I want you to look over to your left at this man sitting over there. You're from Hawaii originally, right? Is that what you said? You lived in Hawaii a long time.
Yeah, I lived there. But my dad was in the military, so I wouldn't say I'm from there.
This is the only man on the planet that went to Hawaii this year and came back complaining about, are you ready for this? Okay. The water. There was too much water.
Actually, this is what happened. I mean, this is absolute true story. I was on Waikiki this summer, and I had not been in the water the whole time because, you know, people like shoot harpoons at me and things like that. But I had jumped in the water, and 10 minutes later, our boat captain comes on and says, we got a tidal wave warning. I had just jumped in the water, and I created a tidal wave, which caused... You remember that? That happened this summer. Do you remember that? Maybe it was in the news. It really did happen.
She doesn't know what to think about you.
Yeah, but it did happen.
He also fell asleep one time in Florida wearing a Speedo, and he woke up, and there were little kids around him throwing water on him. Pull him back in the water. We can still save him.
So they were trying to find my blowhole, too. You know, and that's pretty embarrassing. You know,
let's get the coach in here for a minute before he takes his athletes and leaves the building. I guess he's kind of used to Kelly, though. But
yeah, I'm not going to look for his blowhole. That's for sure.
That's for sure. No one ever has, Coach, if that makes you feel any better. We were kind of picking at you before, but your teams just do nothing but win, win, win. Track and field and the baseball team just bring us one win after another. What's the secret, Coach?
Man, there's no secret. There's just a lot of hard work and a little bit of luck. You know, recruiting Pierce, you know, Pierce was tiny when he got here. He's probably 220, you know, and mm-hmm. nobody wants a shot putter that's that small. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we just thought that, you know, he's pretty explosive. We looked at his the body of work that he had from high school and said, hey, you know, he might turn into something pretty good. And he comes back from a summer and he's, you know, 30 pounds heavier and he's just chunking the shot. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty amazing because he's competing against guys that are like 6'4 and 300 and some big dudes. And mm-hmm. and Pierce is just a tiny guy that just goes in there and just wrecks shop. And it's pretty amazing.
Well, good for him. And then you got to really be proud of a young lady like this that comes in and breaks the school record.
Oh, man. You know, I'm married to a redhead woman. And, you know, Emmy being a redhead, you know, I know to stay away from her because there's some fire in there. And she's got some... You know, she's got some anger in her that she releases on the track when she's running. No, Emmy really is the sweetest person in the world, but she was outstanding at the meet.
Well, stick around. I got a couple questions. What would I ask you before we let you guys out of here, okay?
Okay.
We've got Coach John Stewart, Pierce Cameron, and Emmy Bates in the studio. Stay with us, everybody.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour on the air. Second segment of the show sponsored every day by Eagle Tire West. That's where you'll find quality Goodyear products, full service auto and truck service. Great staff. Matt Warren and his guys invite you to come see them. Best prices in town on Goodyear Tires, a great car and truck service, family operated since 1985, Eagle Tire West. All right, Coach Stewart rejoins us here. Coach, you guys did obviously very, very well in the Arkansas Invitational. Where do we go from here? What's next?
Well, we go back to Birmingham for a meet in 2 weeks, and then we go back to Birmingham again for another meet, and one more last chance meet at Vanderbilt in Nashville, and then we have our conference championship.
You know, you've said that a lot about Birmingham. Is there like a really nice facility there?
There's a really nice facility, the Birmingham Crossplex. It's a nice facility. A lot of conferences host their championships there. We go there just because of the convenience, and we have our conference championships there, so we want to be used to the track, mm-hmm. used to the facility, so we go there quite often. And it's a good place to throw, you know, it's a good place to sprint. We get a lot of good times and marks and performances out of that place. So mm-hmm. we go back there quite often.
Good. Let me ask you another question. I mean, you run the mile both indoor and outdoor?
It switches to the 1500 outdoor.
Okay. How do you have to prepare differently for the two events?
It's typically the same. Yeah, I mean, it's just 100 meters shorter, so.
I got you. So how much running every week do you do?
When I'm in track season, it's been 55 miles a week, and I typically run 6 days a week.
What? Did you say 60?
55.
55 to yeah. 60 miles a week.
55 miles running 6 days a week.
Bob, I don't think we drive 55 miles anymore, do we?
Probably not. I try to avoid it the most I will. Good for you, man. That's pretty remarkable. And Piers, you said for you guys it's 5 days a week. How many times in a week would you say you throw the shot put?
Yeah, I throw 5 days a week, and then we lift 3 days a week.
Okay. And on the days that you're throwing, what does that involve? How extensive is that workout?
probably on average around 30 throws a day, roughly.
Mm-hmm. And the shot weighs how much?
16 pounds.
So it's pretty heavy. That's a pretty heavy.
And what other sport utensil weighs 16 pounds? What?
Oh, yeah, a hammer.
Hammer. Not in track and field. I'm saying another sport. That's our trivia question.
16 pounds?
Yeah. A bowling ball. A bowling ball weighs 16 pounds.
A golf ball.
Yeah, good trivia question there. Coach Stewart, I wanted to ask you about, because Emmy talked about, you know, that she was flown in, you know, in the recruiting process. And obviously to go to get athletes, even from Colorado, where she was. Tell us about your recruiting outreach and where do you guys try to target, and then how far will you go ideally? And realistically, the further away you go, do you have less of a chance maybe getting that athlete, or just kind of fill in some of those recruiting blanks for us?
Well, there's so many things that go into it. I mean, we could bring in someone from Atlanta, and we just have to get a vibe on the phone. We form a relationship with the kid, and we just try to get a vibe like, okay, are they going to do well here? Or are they going to come in? Are they going to turn their nose up at, you know, oh, it's Mississippi? Or are they going to think, you know, they have preconceived notions like, oh, there's no running water, and they all have outhouses there. And so there's a lot of things like that go into it. But, you know, we fly someone in, you know, we generally think that we have a shot to get them. And if we like the kid, if they have great grades, if they're good athletes, you know, if they're a nice person and they think they're going to do well in our family environment, you know, I don't want to bring some, you know, knucklehead, you know. There's some coaches, they'll put Hitler on the track just to score a few points, but I don't have that ability. So I try to get some of the best kids that we could possibly get to come here. So it is a lot to it. I don't have a matrix or anything like that. Sometimes it's just all in my mind. But, you know, if someone's that good, we'll fly them in.
Coach, I wanted to ask you, obviously, you know, you guys in the height of your seasons compete with baseball and other sports around this time. But with you guys being so successful, I mean, how important is it for Southern Miss fans to keep on track with the track and field team, no pun intended there. But, you know, I know it's hard because when, like you were saying off air, you know, when baseball beats Old Dominion, that dominates the headlines. But you guys win the conference championship most years.
Right. Well, you know, track and field is tough anyway. I mean, across the nation, track and field is – we have a marketing problem. And not necessarily at Southern Miss, but in track and field in general, USA track and field. And we're just trying to keep people interested and find ways to remarket ourselves or rebrand ourselves as a fun sport and a sport that people want to watch and people want to sponsor. And so it's difficult. I don't have all the answers there. I just know I love the sport. There's a lot of people that love it because there's no weight limit. You don't have to be 6'6", you know, to play it. There's no size requirements in track and field. It's just, hey, either fast or, you know, or not. And so that's one of the great things about it. From a participation standpoint, we probably have more participation in track and field than almost any other sport in the country. Just so many track kids in through high school, middle school compete. So,
well, I mean, everybody loves it because everybody watches it every 4 years in the Olympics, you know. And then I always tell people a lot of times, it's like you can watch them every single year. You don't have to wait every 4 years for the Olympics.
Right, right. Well, I mean, you know, it's just I think the biggest thing is track and field takes so long. It's 8 hours for a track meet. And people want to condense it down to 2 hours. And if we could do that, that would work. But you'd have to cut out some of the events. You'd have to cut out some of the legalities. And, you know, like Pierce can just go to throw the shot put as far as he wants if he, you know, falls out of the circle and still let it count. But we can't really do that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't have all the answers there. But yeah, we want our fans to be engaged and – we want them to come and watch the meets where, you know, we don't have enough seating, but we still pack that little facility out that we have. And it's a lot of fun.
Coach, what does the league look like from a track and field standpoint?
There's a lot of good teams in the Sun Belt. The Sun Belt has a lot of excellent programs in it, and it's always going to be difficult for us. We got to be on it. You got to recruit like crazy if you're going to be competitive every single year. And you know, there's some schools that have all the money, and they mm-hmm. should be winning. I mean, they shouldn't be getting beat by Southern Miss. I go tell all the other coaches all the time, man, if you get beat by Southern Miss, you must be terrible. I mean, with the budget we have compared to your budget. Come on. So, you know, that's just what I tell them all. So then when we beat their butts, then they feel extra bad. But, you know, it is a tough conference. There's good athletes everywhere, but we just want to have more good athletes in the other programs.
Yeah. If there was one thing that could be gifted to your program that you think would really help you, what would that be, Coach?
Ooh, I tell you what, if we had more scholarship money, mm-hmm. especially on the men's side, that would we'd be a dangerous program.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're already a great team, and we can go up against anybody in our state right now, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, all those guys. If we had more scholarship money for the men, we'd be really dangerous,
mm-hmm.
even more so than facilities and locker rooms and things like that.
Yeah.
It's just we don't have enough money to get the guys that we want to get and the women that we want to get.
Mm-hmm. The reason I asked that, I know the golf guys told us that when they got their facility, that they thought that really helped their program. That's interesting. If you were going to take that choice, you would take more scholarship money over more facilities.
No, definitely, definitely. I mean, because we're hustling. We're, you know, kids and we're athletes in general are coming to Hattiesburg. It's not always for the facilities. That helps, but it's more about the relationship you make with the coaches and the people on the team. I think that's what makes their whole experience great,
mm-hmm.
is just the people they meet here. And we've got mm-hmm. great kids, and that's why I feel so confident about recruiting, because we have great people. And they're going to have a great time being on the team. They're going to get better, and they're going to be happy.
Well, it's like this young lady right here that you bring in from Washington, and she's talking about 2 years and how much she's enjoyed being here and part of the family. That's similar to that baseball culture that we hear so much about, right?
Yeah, well, I've had to, you know, I slipped her a 20 before we came in here sure she said good things.
Is that why she's being so nice?
No, Emmy is awesome. She's one of the ones that makes this place so great to be around, because she just not only is she just a great athlete, she's just such a great person.
Yeah.
And you know, I hate to admit it, but Pierce is a pretty cool dude, too. You know, I make fun of him all the time, and we talk about how if we played football together, I'd lay him out, but, you know.
I don't know about that, Pierce.
Yeah, I don't know about that either.
To me, Bob, it's just great to hear athletes talking about getting a degree and going to class.
Yeah, these types of kids here are the type we like. We like talking to them.
And the inside story is, you guys know a lot of football players now. They've been graduated for 2 years, and they've got another year of eligibility and their $2 million NIL deals, and they don't care about class or graduation or any of that stuff. So.
Well, Emmy Bates and Pierce Cameron, thank you both for coming here. And, Coach, thank you for bringing them. You know, you're always welcome here, Coach. And I'll say it. I don't mind saying it. Two best athletic programs at Southern Miss, baseball, track, and field.
No
real argument.
And I'm supposed to read this. John Stewart deserves a hefty raise. Does that sound good? Is that what I was supposed to read? Yeah, there we go.
That's falling on deaf ears, I can tell you that right now. But thank you, Bob. Thanks very much.
All right, we'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right, everybody. DBAT sponsors the third segment of our program every day. DBAT on Hardy Street. Luke Reynolds manages that fine establishment. Time to start getting ready for a baseball, softball. That's the place to go. DBAT on Hardy Street. Forest Health reminds you that the new year is here and taking care of yourself is important. You are the most important player on the team. Get an annual physical. Eat right, start an exercise program, be sure 2026 gets off to a good start and you're making your health as good as it can be. Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home, foresthealth.org. Said earlier in the show we're going to hear from Matthew Russo, and we will this week, but we're going to push that interview off. We kept the track and field guys here a little longer than we had originally planned, but two delightful young people in here and our really excellent track and field coach, so we wanted to extend that conversation. I did want to spend a segment talking about the end of college football, which we all witnessed last night, and a really exciting football game. And let me start with you, Dima. Try to put in perspective. You know, I read where several coaches talked about how incredible it is and difficult it is, almost impossible, for a college football team, and especially one that plays in the Big Ten, to go 16-0. It's really remarkable.
Yeah, but I think that is definitely true. But I think it should not be understated what this like how big this story is on top of that, the fact that Indiana is right. The national champion.
Right.
And I don't shy away from this, but of course I follow a Big Ten team. I've been a fan of a Big Ten team my entire life, basically, since I was very young. And someone who follows the Big Ten very closely, Indiana was always the game you would always say, let's just rest our starters. Like that was like the you know, that was the one of the games in the Big Ten that you just don't even have to worry about.
They were the homecoming opponent.
Correct. And like, you know, you'd go to Bloomington and there'd be 50 people in the stands. You know, and the fact that they're the losingest program in history, and I think sometimes you'll see underdog stories like a Robert Morris make the Final Four or something like that, you know, Calhoun State, whatever. And it's like they have good moments. But this was an underdog story that they had an incredible story of the fact that they were not only the underdog, but they were also the favorite at the same time, which is why it's just so different than any other story mm-hmm. that you've ever covered. Because while it's Indiana and everybody expected them to win, which is incredible, and it should not be. Kirk Cignetti is going to go down in the Hall of Fame for what he's done there. And like he said in the post game, you know, we have proven it can be done here. And you don't think that all these other universities are now going to look at that and say, we can do that. You know, who's to say that, like, next year's championship isn't going to be like Nebraska versus Arkansas or something mm-hmm. like that, right? Like, Indiana has paved a way for that to be the case. And as much as, you know, we clown on the NIL and we clown on players getting paid and all these crazy amounts of money. This last night was the good part of NIL. The fact that Indiana can win a national title. That is a good part of NIL and the transfer portal.
And it sends a message to the good old boys club, of which Miami is a member, mm-hmm. that can happen and that you better make room. Better hit your elbows each direction to make room for some of these new schools to be part of the club.
I hear what you're saying, but I it's going to take a heck of a coach to do what this man's done in 2 years. They went 11-2 last year after being perennial losers.
Correct.
To undefeated.
Yeah.
It is the story of the ages.
I don't recall a sports story as great as this. I mean, it's unbelievable.
All right, second point I want to make, and I want to get your opinions on this. I think now we can officially say, and I don't really think there's any argument, that the Big Ten is the best football conference in America. Three straight national champions steamrolled the SEC in the playoff. The day of the SEC crowing about they're the best, it just means more, I think is BS. I think the Big Ten has taken that spot. Just my opinion.
That's been nice working with you, Bob. nice knowing you.
How do you argue the point?
No. I hear you, but we're still right in the backyard of.
But how do you argue the reality?
It's inarguable. No SEC team was beating Indiana. That's number one. Number two, no SEC team was more than likely beating Oregon. Number two, no SEC team was going to beat Ohio State. And so, like, that's the reality that we live in. That the top of the Big Ten is that much better than the SEC. Now, I still think you can make arguments for the middle of the road of the Big Ten, such as like the Rutgers, the Minnesotas.
The SEC might be stronger.
Respect, yes. But even then, I don't know. Like, Illinois beat Tennessee in the bowl game. Like, right. Iowa beat Vanderbilt, who, like, right. Vanderbilt said they should have been in the playoffs. Michigan, whose coach got arrested, almost beat Texas. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't even know if we can make that argument. So, yeah, the SEC just kind of embarrassed themselves this year. But I will say at the end of it all, I'm just happy that we expanded the playoff. You know, I think we don't need to move past that. That, like, none of this would have been possible without the expanded playoff of, like, Ole Miss getting in, Miami barely making it in, and then they were literally a drive away from a national championship, right? So expanded playoff, huge success. NIL, a success, needs to be regulated more. And the transfer portal, I think, a success. And I think this season ends the debate of that. It's like
Those are good moves for college football. It's just now we need to figure out how to regulate it. And I don't know if it's – I'm wondering personally if it's beyond regulatory, like if they've it's just gone off the deep
end. So let me ask you this, though. Are you saying that's good for college – when you say that's good for college football, and Kelly can get it here, you're talking about the big schools. You're not talking about the USMs and the Louisiana Monroes and the McNeese States of the world.
No, yeah. I mean, it's not good for those schools. The group of five schools – it's not good for them.
Right.
But you're talking about the school in the Power Four, is great for them. And now that they've seen what Indiana's done, and I agree with you, nobody's Kurt Cignetti, nobody's going to bring Arkansas to a national title in 2 years. But the framework is there at least.
So right? Will the NFL come calling on this man?
He's a Pittsburgh boy, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Well, that with Pittsburgh having an opening, that might be pretty intriguing. And the new thing in college baseball, apparently, is to jump from the college now to the big leagues. As Tennessee's coach is now the coach of the – former coach is now the coach manager.
So, by the way, are you disagreeing that – do you think the Big Ten has stepped in as the premier football conference in the country?
No, I was going to make the argument that perhaps top to bottom, that the SEC would be, but Dima he already addressed that, so that's fine. The only thing that I would like to see, but this is a consistent complaint I have about college athletics in general, season's too long.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
Particularly with football, it is such a brutal and rugged sport. If you really care about CTEs or injuries to these young men, if you're going to have a playoff system that could potentially go 4 or 5 weeks, then you need to shorten the stinking regular season. It's way too long.
Next year's national championship in Las Vegas, Nevada, January 27th.
So even further.
A week ahead of what it was this week.
Maybe the Fighting Mullins will get to play on their home field next year at UNLV. I mean,
there we go.
Well, I agree with shorten the season. And one way these Power Four schools can shorten the season is maybe – not play two or three slaughter games against little schools that they're just going to beat up.
The NFL played two playoff rounds in between the semifinals and the championships.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. They played the wild card and the divisional in between when college football had the semifinal and the national title.
Yeah. Well, when the NFL also released its injury report, more ACL injuries this year than ever before. Well, of course, they keep making the season longer and longer. The injury lists get longer and longer, and I understand that it's all about money. And I don't have a problem with the playoff structure the way it is, but then I agree with you, Bob, that some of these fluff games, including Southern Miss, it wouldn't hurt the Eagles to drop back from 12 games a season to a 9 or 10 game regular season and then a bowl game. That's plenty for these young men.
Yeah. I want to address something else really quickly, too. I don't know if y'all are watching College Game Day last night, but Marcus Freeman, the head coach at Notre Dame, was like one of the guest anchors or whatever. And they were, you know, puffing him up. Coach, you've done so well for this university and all these things. And like, you've led your locker room so well, and nobody asked him, why did you opt out of your bowl game?
I caught the end of that. I tuned in right when the game started, and I wondered, was that brought
up? No, nobody said that. Everybody was like, you're such a leader of men, all these things. I'm like, no, well, ask him. He taught his whole team
to quit
when adversity strikes. And he was like, we're going to leave no doubt next year. That made me mad, actually.
I agree. I agree with both of you about the season. And, you know, and you take it up. You watch a game that last night. Then you watch a group of five game. You see the gap.
Yeah.
Then you watch an NFL game. You see an even bigger gap between the Power Four colleges and the NFL. I don't see how the NFL Warriors survive the seasons as long and brutal as they are.
I don't either. And you see now football players at age 50. Yeah. With CTE injuries from all the
we can all agree that the NFL is brutal.
Well, of course, these are the biggest, fastest, strongest men in the world. You know, playing it's like literally getting hit by a truck. You know, when you get hit by these guys, and it's repetitive, and they just want more and more games. And I know the players' union has to agree to that, but I just wish it wouldn't hurt any leagues to cut back on a few games.
All right, college football is put to bed, and I think we just saw the story of the century in college football.
And when we come back, what will the tunes be for the Southern Miss baseball players when they take the mound or the box?
Have you got it? We'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour. I want to thank John Stewart, Pierce Cameron, and Emmy Bates for joining us today. Delightful to have those athletes in here, as well as their fine track and field coach. This segment sponsored by 4th Street Bar and Grill. Right there in the shadow of the rock where you can always catch your favorite games and always enjoy good food. Want to thank my good friend Kevin Mullins at Genesis of Hattiesburg for all he does on the program, the official auto dealer of our show, Genesis Sedans and SUVs, all in Mississippi's exclusive Genesis dealership on Highway 98 West. And we want to say hello to Morgan and her great crew at Mo Bay Beignet Company, 2902 Hardy Street. Check out their Facebook page. And real quick, Kelly, if I was going to do some home repair, home remodeling, get any idea where I might go?
Indoor or outdoor, does it matter?
Doesn't matter.
Okay, well, MCS Home Center, then, is the only place that I would go.
All right. Where would that be, Kelly?
That would be out on Highway 98, where the old Max Fish Camp used to be. Mm-hmm. The specific number is 7329 Highway 98 West. I think you'll be amazed. Anything that you use in, on, or around your home, you will find it at MCS. And if for some reason you can't find it, Bob, because I know sometimes you don't even know where you parked your car.
Correct.
Once you get out of the parking
lot. That's really true.
Me too. Oh. Just ask any one of the able servers there inside. They will take you right to what you're looking for.
I actually came out of Walmart a week or so ago, and me and this sweet little lady that I met, because she was wandering around looking for her car, we walked around together looking for our vehicles. It was pitiful.
It's getting to be more and more of that as we get older.
I had a delightful conversation with her, but it took us a while to find both.
It's going to get to where Angela's going to have a leash on you. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, she does that when we're really busy places. But news and notes. Go ahead, Dima. I want to hear the baseball walk-up
music. Yeah, we got a lot of college baseball news. So the 2025 NCAA baseball average attendance leaders came out. Southern Miss baseball ranked number 12 with 5,039 average attendance. That's, again, over Clemson, Arizona State, East Carolina, Virginia. Number one is LSU, 11,071. National title odds, kind of starting to make, you know, put them on the markets. Would you like to guess who's number one?
LSU again.
LSU is number one in the odds at plus 750, so that's about a 7-1 win for them. Southern Miss is listed. They are plus 7,000, so 70-1 chances for Southern Miss to win the College World Series. Coastal Carolina is plus 2,700-1, so about 27-1 chance for them as well. So I think that's pretty good representation for the Sun Belt.
But do you honestly think that Coastal Carolina is that much better than Southern Miss?
I haven't understood that, because it's like they lost both their starting pitchers and their catcher, and that second baseman is so good. They do return Flukie, who is a really good pitcher, but I don't know if I would say that they're like significant. Like, what would that be, 5,000?
Yeah, well, they made such a big splash, though, by getting to championship.
You're right.
That's true.
That's
true.
I guess that's it.
All right, and Southern Miss Baseball also released everyone's favorite walkout music. I'm not going to sit here and just read off every one, so y'all just tell me which one y'all want to hear.
I want to hear Bulls.
Okay. It just popped off. So let me pull it back up. Hang on.
And, of course, any of these, if there is a dirty version, they'll clean them up, obviously, walk-up music.
All right, so Matthew Russo's is Paradise by Coldplay.
Really? Bull's going to play Paradise by Coldplay?
That's right.
What about my man Kobe Allen?
He's going with the classic Safari song, the one he's been doing his whole career.
He's not changing.
No.
When you see what they pick from year to year, if it's the same thing, you got yourself a superstitious guy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You hear these guys about, they wear the same pair of underwear, they don't shave, whatever, until they lose.
Well, you know, when they were going on that win streak last season, you know, Oz wore those glasses, and he just didn't take them off until they lost one game.
He looks so odd.
It is funny how superstitious they are.
Who would you like to hear, Kelly?
Let's go with, you already, Tucker Stockman.
Tucker Stockton, man, I thought that was him. What number is he? 36. There he is. Lift Your Head, Weary Sinner by Crowder.
Okay, never heard that song.
Really? Oh,
that's a good song. Well, I probably have heard it and just don't know what the title of it is. You know?
Good song.
I probably have heard it, just didn't know what the title
was. I've noticed, too, with baseball a lot of years, there's kind of a country theme to a lot of the walk-up.
Yeah.
A lot
Kyle of those Morrison, kids like the I think y'all like this, Kyle Morrison, Take Me Home Tonight by Eddie Money.
Yeah. Oh, that now there you're going back to some of the hard time. Yeah. Cross Sibley?
Yeah, Cross is good. Age of Machine by Greta Van Vliet. I don't know what that is.
Isn't she a host on CNN? What, Greta?
That was Van Sutton.
Oh, okay.
She's still around, by the way.
Is she?
I noticed her the other night on some obscure channel. But, yeah.
Davis Gillespie's Money for Nothing by Dire Straits.
Oh,
that's a good one.
That is my song, yeah.
That's a good one.
Let's see.
Money for Nothing and Chicks for Free.
We don't want to hear you. So.
Oh, Seth Smith. Yeah.
Seth Smith, he is My Kind of Lover by Billy Squier.
My Kind of Lover.
Kay Durbin with Another One Bites the Dust by Queen.
Now that's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one. Joey Urban, Miami by Will Smith.
Yeah, that's all right.
Graydon Harris, Gonna Know We Were Here by Jason Aldean.
When my son pitched.
I told you, country flavor of baseball.
When my son pitched, his was Beast of Burden by the Rolling Stones.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I remember years ago, back in the heyday of football, they would always play Another One Bites the Dust during warm-ups.
Yeah. By Queen.
And you could watch the other team, and you'd know that they knew that was probably fixing to happen.
Here's a great one. Camden Sundstrom. Pocket Full of Sunshine by Natasha Bedingfield. I got a pocket full of sunshine.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, he can sing, but I can't.
Yeah, okay. Well, he's younger than you.
Okay.
Okay, that wraps up the show for today, and it's been an odd one. We'll try to be a little more sane tomorrow. We hope you'll join us. Southern Miss.
To the top.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.